Okay, cool. We are alive again, and it's like funny and tough times we're going through right now with everything that is happening in the world. And we hope that everyone listening to this podcast is doing well and they are staying safe at home. I know that I'm staying safe at home, and I know that Ryan is as well.
Yep, I'm doing all right over here. As it turns out, I live in Michigan, and we had 0 cases of coronavirus on March 10th, and yesterday on March 20th we had 549. And on one hand, that's kind of freaking crazy, but I think also too, like we didn't really have many testing kits for the first several weeks when the virus was starting to make its way around the U.S. And so a lot of people who probably had it couldn't get tested. So the really quick increase in numbers here in the US is like it's kind of concerning, but at the same time like when the US was reporting like 40 or 50 cases only, I mean, most citizens and doctors were well aware that there was probably at least a few hundred, if not several thousand, across the US. They just hadn't been confirmed because there was no way to test them, and there was limits to who we were testing. But now, I mean, it's still crazy because like everything, there's no sports, no like public gatherings. Just about the only things that are open are drive-through and delivery services, or like grocery stores and like essential businesses. But there's no like there's nothing that's big that is open. Like churches are even postponing their masses, temples and synagogues. Like everything is just like it's kind of crazy. It's definitely
Yeah.
the first time I've
I
ever
mean,
seen anything to this extent here.
I mean, God can wait, you know. It's like, what the fuck? We don't like, he can wait. Like, if you want to meet him, like right now, if you really want to meet and talk to God, just go out and go to the church. You're gonna get the disease and you're gonna meet him in no time. So he's gonna wait, you know. It's like no problem with him. He was waiting like for billions of years. From the start of time till now, so he doesn't have any issues with waiting. He doesn't like he doesn't mind waiting for 6 months, you
Yeah,
know,
I think he's
till
a
t
patient, a patient creator. I think he
yeah.
understands why we'd prefer not to be gathering in large numbers right now, especially just because of like it's weird because people my age, like in their 20s, are usually turning out to be totally fine after, they take care of themselves for a week or whatever. But it's really the concern is anyone who's got like the underlying health issues and stuff, the elderly
Yeah.
folks. And it's like there's no like without a vaccine and all the other like stuff we have for the flu, there's really no way to protect to guarantee that someone's protected. And even then, like there are people who are like totally healthy and they're like getting very sick from this. And even if they don't, like even if you don't die, it's like very like taxing on your immune system and taxing on your respiratory system. So like
Oh my God.
I just hope everyone
This
out there, is staying safe and staying healthy.
this got so gloomy so fast. I was like, okay, we're gonna record a podcast and we're gonna talk about something else. Our listeners, like, we're gonna take their minds off these things. But oh my God, this got like that escalated so quickly. So the point is that like everyone else, like we are home, people are home, people are not like going out. It's very difficult. I understand that. And we're recording this podcast mainly so we can like just try to be there with you, you know. And maybe you're gonna listen to this podcast, maybe you're not gonna listen to it, but if you it's gonna add like I don't know 20 or 30 minutes of maybe entertainment to your day, and maybe it's gonna help.
Yeah, just something
So
different. Something that's not part of your normal routine, you know?
yeah, of course. And what I wanted, the idea I had is that we're gonna like tell some stories about whatever you want. But I thought that I had some stories about some of Borussia Dortmund's games that I watched somewhere and what happened and the reactions of people and stuff. So we're gonna tell some stories like that. And if you have some any stories, Ryan, like to tell, just you know, whatever. It doesn't have to be related to football or to Dortmund or to anything, just anything that you want to share with people, something, you know, fun or something like different. So and if you didn't figure out, we are talking over Skype, me and Ryan, because we're not in the same, he's in North America, I am in Europe, I'm in Poland, so it's like a few thousand kilometers to say the least. So I wanted to talk about the game. Do you remember in 2013 when we went to the Champions League final?
Yes.
Yeah. So like before going to the final, we played Real Madrid in the semifinals, and in the first game we were playing at home at the Signal Iduna Park, and if you know something about Morocco, is that like 45% of fans in Morocco are Real Madrid fans, and the other 45 are Barcelona fans, and the 10% in between are like very like neutral, or they don't give a fuck about football, or they just don't watch anything, you know, they are miserable people. So the thing is, we I went with my brother-in-law and we went to a coffee, and I didn't go to a bar, I went to a coffee shop where they really broadcast like these games, you know, and you can watch it in coffees that are like full, you know, it's like a coffee where there's like 100 people and four screens and people watching and just screaming at the TV, you know, and screaming at each other. And it's like the, if you go to Morocco and it is like the classical, and hopefully there's not going to be any diseases, you just need to go to these coffee shops, and you need to go to like these old, you know, coffee shops, old in the old town, and like these very sketchy places, you know, where people are like seem very suspicious and stuff. So you need to go there because it's like so fun to watch games there, especially in the Clásico. By the way, when I went to watch the game, it was like Real Madrid versus Borussia Dortmund. It was like the semifinals, the first league game, and we obviously like beat Real Madrid 4-1. But what happened in that game in that coffee shop is that I was there with like 70% of people who were there, they were Real Madrid fans. I was the only one. Yeah, I was the only one who was Dortmund fan, and I was wearing a shirt, you know, a Dortmund jersey, and there was like 20% or so Barcelona fans. What happens in Morocco is that whenever Real Madrid plays a key game with another team that is not Barcelona, you will find Barcelona fans sitting and just shit-talking Real Madrid fans. Just, you know, wishing them bad luck, just swearing at them and laughing at them when they get scored against. It's like,
same
it's the
thing
funniest
we do with
thing
Bayern
ever.
Fans, right? Same thing we do with Bayern fans.
Yeah, exactly. So we had like in the coffee shop, we had like a couple, you know, like 10 or 15 people who love Barcelona and who came there. And what happened is that whenever a goal is scored, I am like, I'm the first one who's like standing up and screaming and like shouting and like, yes, goal and stuff. And then Barcelona fans would stand up with me as well, and we'd be like so happy. Because before that, Barcelona was beaten by Bayern Munich 4-0, or I don't know, 3-0. And Real Madrid fans gave Barcelona fans a hard time, and they were like, it's not going to happen to us against Dortmund. We're not going to be the same as you, but it happened to them as well. So Barcelona fans were so fucking happy to see that. And by the end of the game, I was like being shouted at by Real Madrid fans. Some of them were threatening to beat the shit out of me or something. Like, it was so fucking intense. And I almost got escorted out of the coffee shop by the Barcelona fans. they almost like surrounded me, like, no, don't touch him, stay away from him, you are just sorry because you lost and stuff. And at some point in the game, I was like clapping my hand and like the only one cheering, like Borussia Dortmund, and I hear the Barcelona fans cheering with me. It's like, it was like, you know, I felt like people are there are some people who are like, you know, supportive in the game, whereas I, at first I was like alone, you know, the only one who was like a Dortmund supporter, like, and these people they didn't even know what Dortmund was at that point. They're like, they referred to that to them as the yellow team, whatever the fuck. Yeah, I don't know what that means. They're like, oh, what did the yellow team do? Oh, the yellow team. Oh, look at that. Even when Klopp went to Liverpool, people referred to him. Oh, that's, you know, you remember him? He was the coach of the yellow team. So Dortmund was the yellow team to most of these people. So seeing that there is a Dortmund fan, they couldn't believe it. They thought that I was just a Barcelona fan posing as a Dortmund fan. And yeah, it's so fucking funny. And that game was so fun. And I enjoyed it because we beat them like 4-1 and like we were very confident and stuff. But the second league game, we didn't do as well because we were playing at the Bernabeu and we lost like 2-0, and they were close to scoring the third goal and being qualified to the final. That game, I watched it in my hometown in Casablanca, and I watched it with a friend in a coffee shop as well, and he was wearing a jersey, and they were like only Real Madrid fans and very angry fans, you know. And I swear to God, when we qualified, when the game ended and I was walking home with my friend, I got people threatening me in the street. Like, people were like, oh, you're wearing that jersey. Oh, you want some trouble, bro? You want to go down something? Just like that. You know, people were like just wanting to you know, to get in a fight with me because we beat them so hard in those two games. That's like my memory from that year. And I went on to watch again the final in a coffee shop. But the final, it was like only, you know, because there was like Bayern München versus Dortmund, and there were people there were like very, you know, very neutral.
Yeah.
Or
Dortmund and Bayern don't have a huge following in Casablanca, I'd imagine. They're probably, so people probably would just go to watch because it's a game they can watch, as opposed to like Real Madrid, like you said, super popular.
Yeah. Real Madrid to Barcelona, it's like, oh my God. And if you go to Northern Morocco, because in Northern Morocco, there are like Spanish, there were like Spanish colonies there. And people in Northern Morocco, they speak Spanish and they wish they were in Spain, you know, most of them. So for them, if you watch a Barcelona game versus Real Madrid, it's like you're watching a game in Spain, you know. It's like you see that they really have like this sense of, I don't know what I call it, but they really want to show that they care. And if you go to a game and you watch a game in a bar or in a coffee shop in Northern Morocco, and it's the Clásico, you're not going to have time to look at the screen because people around you are going to do so much fucked up and interesting things that you're going to be like, oh shit, this is like, you know, this is like more fun than watching, you know, Messi or watching, I don't know, Benzema or other players, because it's like, you know. And this is just something that one of the memories I have, like, of being a Dortmund supporter. Yeah, that's my story. So I hope you enjoyed it. Yeah, go ahead, Ryan, if you have anything.
I think
anything
for me
to talk about.
This is kind of a bizarre story, but when I was, I think this would have been 3 years ago now, 2 years ago, when I was still studying at University of Michigan and doing my undergrad classes, Dortmund was in the it was a Champions League. I think it was the, I want to say it was the group stage where we were playing against Real Madrid, and we were hosting Real Madrid, and yeah, they were up. I think Ronaldo had scored twice, or Ronaldo and
which year was that?
I want to say it was 2017, maybe 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember like Dortmund was down 2-0. And, or it might have been 3-1. It was a two-goal deficit, and Dortmund scored midway through the second half to pull within, or like towards the end of the middle of the second half to pull within one goal. And I was like super on edge, and my roommates had come back from class. I had skipped class to watch the match because like I was very, very like dedicated to the game because it was a super important game for Dortmund. And I just remember that I was like desperate for Dortmund to win, but like especially since I missed class, like I didn't want to miss class for Dortmund to lose, but at the same time, like I wanted if they did lose, like it was still worth it. Like I'd rather watch the match than go to class. So I was watching the match, and like in the final like 10 or 15 minutes, I think it was Andre Schürrle at the time.
Oh yeah. I remember that. Goal
from inside the box to tie it up, and my roommate and I went absolutely bonkers. Like it's the middle of the afternoon in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Like people are going to class. Like it was a nice day. Like people had their windows open. We had our window open, and I just start running around my apartment shouting, fuck yes, we fucking did it. Like holy shit. Like I'm losing my mind. Dortmund's like preserving their. Unbeaten streak at home that was like super long or something. And I just remember like watching people walk by our apartment complex and like look up, and they just looked very concerned. They looked like they just looked very concerned for my well-being, for my roommate's well-being. And like we were just ecstatic. Like it was like that for me is just such like a, I don't know, it's one of the, for me it's one of my most like powerful experiences as a Dortmund fan, mainly because of like just how like I had been invested in Dortmund before that, like emotionally invested to an extent, but I never felt like so impacted by one goal in one match. And I think for me, that's when I really started to like understand how much Dortmund meant to me and like how much I loved the team, the club, you know, the sport. And I don't know, it was just a really cool moment. And anytime I'm watching a Dortmund match now, like if something is like very tense, or if I'm in a very, like there's a very tense match, it's late in the match and Dortmund's like tied with a good team, like I think back to like that moment when Schürrle scored that goal to keep Dortmund alive, and I just like, I don't know, the emotions are just like super powerful. And I think it's really cool that I'm like, that I, as someone who like didn't even watch any football growing up, and growing up in America was like, if anything, like more predisposed to like disliking football, for me to have such like an emotional and powerful connection with a club in Germany, like that's really cool to me. So that's why like I'm still here doing this podcast with you, why I enjoy writing about Dortmund. Like it's just, I don't know, it's, there's something about the club, something about the team that I feel like I can connect with, even though I have like outside of my distant relatives being German. So I'm like 25% German, 25% Syrian, 25% Lebanese, 25% Belgian. Like outside of having like a little German heritage, I have like no connection to the club. I've never been to Germany. And now like the number one thing on my bucket list is to see a Dortmund match from the Yellow Wall. And like, I feel like a lot of it stems from that moment where I just felt so like overwhelmed with positive emotions when Schürrle scored. And at the same time, like last year, this was like a, like not a good memory, but it's like when I felt so like heartbroken and like dejected when we lost to Schalke in the derby towards the end of the season, where Marco Reus got a red card. Like that felt like the worst feeling I'd ever felt in any other sport I watch with any other of my favorite teams. And so like, I don't know, it's just really cool. Like it's unfortunate that I had to experience that, but at the same time, it's really cool for me that I'm able to like feel so connected to something that's like geographically and like so distant from me. Like I haven't physically been to Dortmund. I haven't physically been to Germany, but to feel that connection with the club, the city, and like the other fans and the emotions that they have when they're watching the matches, like I think it's awesome. I love it. And like, kind of like what you said when the Real Madrid fans were like threatening you when you were walking back, they're like, "Oh, are you looking for a fight?" Like that's just how much they care about their club. Like they care so much about their club that they're ready to fight someone who cheers for a club that they probably hadn't heard of until we beat them. So like, I don't know. I think that aspect of football is really cool. And I think like connecting that to today a little bit, like I feel like it's weird that there's no football right now at all, or any other sport. And like, for a lot of us, like football is a huge part of our lives, especially when we're so passionate about our clubs. And it's kind of like almost like intimidating to be in a space where there's just like, for the time being, we don't know when we'll get to watch football again. And like, I think it's important that we are like confident that it'll return, but at the same time, it's important to remember that like, as much as we love and enjoy it, we don't want it to be like the focal point of our lives, and we gotta like take advantage of our time outside of football to like enjoy the other little things in life, I guess, you know? And like, that's what I've been doing lately. And like, for me, part of that is playing a lot of FIFA, because like, if you can't watch football, you know, you gotta play it. So I play a lot of FIFA, and of course I'm running as Dortmund online and like doing my best to kick some butt. And I absolutely hate when I play against Bayern online and someone beats me. Like, that for me is just like, that's like getting stabbed in the gut like four times over. Like, I hate losing to Bayern in a video game when I'm Dortmund. And like, I don't know, I'm excited for when football returns, because I think now I'm even more excited to watch Dortmund, and I'll feel more connected moving forward, just because of like, this is one of those times where it's like, you don't realize how big football is in your life until it is suddenly taken away. And it's like, I mean, I can't wait for it to come back, I guess, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, man. And it's like, as you said, yeah, like, to be honest, you said it all. Like, right now we are, like, people are deprived from football, which is like very, like, a beautiful thing. And we really hope this lifts, like, this gloomy, dark scenario, like something we've never experienced before, we've never imagined, disappears fast, so we can go back to our lives and watch our favorite teams play and win and lose, and you know, that passion. And like, when you talked about the game against Real Madrid, as soon as you said we were 2-0 down, I was gonna say, oh, are you talking about the game where Shirley scored a goal at the last minutes? But I was like, okay, I'm not gonna steal like the show. I'm not gonna like spoil your story for you. But yeah, I was like, I wasn't sure. But when you said like Shirley scored a goal, and it was like a goal. It was like a beautiful goal, because it was like a volley, right? It was like a volley. The ball didn't touch the ground. It just kicked it and it went in, I guess. I don't remember the goal exactly, but I remember like screaming as well, because that was a game in which Dortmund had to like draw at least so they can like advance. And one of the other games that were like so passionate is the game against Malaga, I guess. Is it Malaga?
I think so.
I think it's Malaga. Let me see. It was like one of the best games ever. And to see like the last goal scored by Felipe Santana, like at the last seconds of the game, because at that point, like, we were not advancing, and Jurgen Klopp was like, everyone goes like to the penalty box, everyone goes ahead, and the only one who stays behind is Mats Hummels, and he just stayed behind and he kept like sending the ball to the penalty box like again and again and again. And at last, like, and that is a game that I am thinking about watching today, because I have nothing to do today, so I'm just staying in. I'm just gonna go online and try to download the game like in some sketchy website or something, and yeah, just watch it all over again, because that game was so fucking intense. And yeah, like, as I say, right, the other thing is that we really take this for granted, you know, because this we are going through this painful, very very painful times where people are losing like other relatives, and people are going through very hard times, and people are like, you know, but the thing that we're gonna learn is that we are taking so many things for granted, and one of the things we're taking for granted is football. Like, right now we have, you know, you can just turn on your TV and watch a game, and or maybe just, you know, go to a website that's streaming the game for free and just watch the game. And you think that these games are going to be there forever. And you think that you're going to be watching these games every other day or every, like, every weekend. And you have access to all the games. Like, you can watch La Liga games, you can watch Champions League games, you know, Europa League, Premier League, Bundesliga, you know, Calcio, any fucking league you can watch from your home. And that just goes to, like, this just shows that we take so many things for granted right now. And we should, like, this in this time where we're just sitting home with almost no entertainment. Like, we have internet, like, most people have internet, and they talk, like, on Skype, or they talk on, you know, they speak to their families and friends. But right now we should, like, be so grateful for how the world became so connected, you know. And you can watch, like, a game that's happening in Australia, you can watch it from your home. Or, like, how, for example, you know, football stadiums are so accessible, yet for, like, outside of the Bundesliga, people don't go watch games, you know. Like, the Bundesliga and maybe Premier League are the most, you know, where people, like, go watch sports. I think for American football as well, and American sports, like, I see that in basketball, hockey, football, baseball, you see that, like, the stadiums are always full. And it's the same in the Bundesliga, it's the same. Spain, not really. Premier League, they are, like, full stadiums. But apart from that, if you watch other leagues, it's, like, empty stadiums. And that's just to show that stadiums are here, players, they are training, like, all week to play in the weekends, and people just don't go to watch their local clubs. And that is also, like, unfortunate. Now if you ask, like, the most disinterested person in football, like, the person who doesn't care about football at all, and you're like, oh, you're gonna watch your hometown that is, like, third division, I don't know, Czech Republic League, right now, you're gonna go to the stadium and watch the game, and you're not gonna get any disease or anything. They're gonna be like, oh my god, yes, I wanna do that. I just wanna get out of the house and go somewhere and do that. And that just goes to show you that we really should evaluate how we interact with football, and how we, in times where we are very comfortable and we are, like, there's nothing threatening our well-being. So yeah, and, like, bottom line, I'm sure I'm gonna watch Dortmund versus Malaga today, because it's a great game, I'm sure of that. Yeah, I feel like I talked for, like, 7 years or something.
Yeah, no, I feel like I'm with you on that one. Like, I don't know. It's a weird place, but, like, I'm hoping, like, I mean, I personally would like to keep coming on with podcasts as often as we can, you know, if it's once a week, once every 2 weeks, or once a month right now, just because of the lack of content to cover, just to kind of, like, touch base with the Dortmund fans who appreciate the content we put out, and just kind of, like, give you guys something to listen to and think about that kind of distracts you from everything that's going on around you. Because, like, I feel like as serious as everything is right now with the coronavirus, it's also important that we remember that, like, no matter how serious it gets, like, eventually we will be able to, like, return to normal. And, like, we may not know when or, like, how soon or, like, when any of that's going to happen. But, like, I think it's important that we don't get too caught up in, like, the fear of everything. Like, obviously, we should still continue to practice, like, sanitation, like, good sanitation and good hygiene, and, like, do everything that we can and do our part to keep the spread, like, down. But at the same time, like, don't lose sight of the long term. Like, this is, like, this virus is only going to be temporary, and eventually, if not sooner, eventually they're going to have, like, a vaccine, and it's going to really help everything return to normal, because then people will be able to protect themselves without staying inside 24/7. So like just keep in mind that like we will get through this, and like we will have football again, and we're gonna just continue to do our parts to make sure we can get there as quickly as possible. And when eventually things do return to normal, we're gonna be twice as ready as we are now for some good old-fashioned football, and hopefully some good old-fashioned ass-kicking of Bayern from Dortmund. Because the thing that bugs me too, like, the first match that got postponed for Dortmund was the Derby, the Revier Derby. And it's like, I was really excited to you know, get back at Schalke for what happened last year. And now it's like, oh man, dude, the anticipation is just, like, stifled. But
I mean,
you know, just try, like, don't talk yourself into being someone who's gonna panic and stuff. Like, obviously protect yourself, protect those around you, but like take it seriously, but don't panic. Like it's not worth it, in my opinion, to like panic and stress out about it at this point. Cause like, even no matter, like, yes, it's concerning, but at the same time, like, panicking and stressing out about it, like, isn't really gonna provide you any extra protection or anything at this point. So like, don't be afraid to like just kind of go off the grid for a little bit, or like disconnect from like the news and stuff, and like try and focus on just like enjoying what's around you and doing what you can to keep yourself like motivated and upbeat. Like, that's what I've been doing, and I hope you guys are able to do it as well, because like, as important as it is that we all stay healthy like physically, it's also important that we all stay healthy emotionally, because like, this can be a very stressful time, especially with like jobs and stuff shutting down. Like, I'm very lucky that both of my part-time jobs are still going, but there's no guarantee for a lot of stuff. So like, just, I guess, do what you can to enjoy what you can for now. And I mean, keep looking forward to football. Like, it'll be back. It will be back. So that's what I'm excited about. I keep focusing on that. It will be back at some point.
Yeah, and keep calm and flatten the curve, right?
Yeah, exactly. Keep calm and flatten the curve. Like, do everything you can to protect yourself. And if you can protect yourself and then in turn not infect others, you're also helping protect others. And like, I think as like a society or as like a group of people, like, even if we're not all in the same place at the same time, we can still like come together like metaphorically and focus on what we can do as individuals to protect ourselves and each other. And I think the more people are willing to do that, the sooner we will be able to return to normal life. And hopefully the better appreciation we'll have in the future and the more proactive we'll be in the future about preventing things like this from happening again. You know, like, at the very least, I hope we're able to learn a lot from how this all pans out and then adjust kind of our habits and our routines moving forward so that in the future it doesn't have to get to this point. But they aren't shutting things down because everyone is dying. They're shutting things down to prevent too many people from dying. So don't think of like the lack of sports as a sign that we're all doomed. Think of it as like the steps we can take to ensure that we aren't doomed and that we're able to continue to enjoy sports like football and continue to enjoy our regular outdoor activities when things start to get better. So like, that's what I would say to focus on. Don't think of it as like we're all doomed. Think of it as like we're doing everything we can to make sure we aren't doomed.
Well said, my friend. Well said.
Thank you.
So yeah, you're all welcome. So yeah, I think this is the end of this podcast. As Ryan said, we're gonna try to record more often so we can keep you guys company. And in the meantime, as Ryan will like say, he said, like, just keep calm, protect yourselves and your families, enjoy the simple things in life, and catch you guys later.
Yep, peace.